Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, welcome to My City Church Online. We want to say a massive welcome home to everybody that is tuning in today. I want to take a moment to turn on a little bit of a blinker for those of us that call My City Church home. In the month of June, we are going to be relaunching small groups in person. And I could not be more excited to start getting small gatherings going again where we can connect, we can grow together, and we can find God doing more in our life during this season. Well, today we are kicking off a brand new series called Moneyopoly, and we want to help you win the money game in your life. I want to give a little disclaimer up front. This is not a fundraising series message. We're not going to try to get you to give more. We want you to get a vision for your finances so that you can win the money game. So I'm setting out just to help people throughout this series learn godly principles about managing your finances. So if you got your Bibles with me, you can turn to Habakkuk 2:2. And this is really a theme verse for this entire series. And here's what it says. It says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. God wants you to have a vision for your finances. He wants it to be clear and plain, and he wants you to be able to run with that vision so that you can win the money game. And that's why today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought. Financial vision. You got to get a financial vision. If I put a subtitle to it, it would be Rules to the Game. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your presence that is real and tangible. God, I pray that your word would help people today, that it would liberate people, it would give people a vision for their finances. And God, I pray right now, if there's anybody who's in financial need today, that you would show up in a big way in their life, that you would truly be Jehovah Jireh, their provider. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Well, I've got a question for you today. How many of you out there, you're board game people? Like you like to play board games. Yeah, so many people love board games. I'm not a big fan of board games, to be honest with you. I don't really like them, but there is one board game that I do like to play, and it's Monopoly. I love the game Monopoly because it's a little longer. It has strategy to it, and you get to pick your little piece. Like how many of you know like the little pieces? Like that's the best way to start the game. You got to figure out what you're gonna be. How many of you are thimble people? You're thimble people, or the wheelbarrow, or the boot, or the dog. I mean, how many of you are the dog people? You always want to pick the dog. I'm telling you what. If you are one of the dog people and you're playing Monopoly, we're going to pray for you, because what you want to do is you want to pick like the race car, or, you know, like the top hat because you're balling out of control, or you got awesome boots on because you're going to run this race with perseverance. You're going to win the game. You know, me personally, I'm a top hat guy because if I'm going to win, I want to do it looking classy. And I think so much of this Monopoly, man, it shows you so much about how you plan and how you strategize. You know, if you've never played Monopoly, really, if I was to break it down into some simple rules, here are some of the simple rules for Monopoly. It's number one, just manage your money. You're like, just manage your money. Number two, buy property. Number three, collect rent. Number four, stay out of jail. Like, I think these are just good rules for life, period, not just this board game. Like, you should manage your money. You should try to buy some property. You should buy some property that makes money for you, and you should do your best just to stay out of jail. The reality is that when you're playing Monopoly, and no matter whether you love it or you hate it, you've got to get a strategy. You've got to get a vision for the game. But that vision, it also has to fit within the context of the rules. Like, we all know what it's like to play with somebody who always wants to be the banker because they're stashing hundos under their leg while they're playing. You know, that's usually the dad of the family who's cheating. Like, there's rules to the game, but inside of those rules, you have to have a vision. And here's what I want you to understand today. To win at the game of money, you have to get a vision. If you want to win at the game of money, you have to get a vision for what you want your money to do. And here's the thing about that vision that's really important for you to understand is your vision must fit inside the rules of the game. That God has set up rules to the game, that there are rules to how to manage your finances biblically, and God wants you to have a vision for your finances that fit inside the boundaries and the rules that He set up so that you can win the money game. Here's what I found, is if you will take God's principles and you will begin to apply them, if you'll get a vision for what God can do in your life through finances, you are going to win. It may take some time. Here's what I want you to understand. It may take some time, but it works every time. It may take some time for you to get from where you are to where you want to end up, to fulfill the vision for your finances. It may take some time. It's going to take some sweat equity. It's going to take some hard work. But when you apply God's principles to your finances, it may take some time, but it works every single time. And as we look at some of these rules to the game or some blueprints for our finances, today I want to give you five principles that I think if you can get a vision for your finances, if you can apply these principles to your finances, you are going to find yourself winning in the game called money. And the first principle that you got to get under your belt is this. It's just simply to get out of debt. Like, you got to get out of debt. Debt is nobody's friend. Simply, like, if you want to know what debt is, like, debt is just simply this. Debt equals risk. There's a lot of discussion that between what is bad debt and what is good debt. People would say, you know, hey, if you have credit card debt with high interest, that's really bad debt because it's hard to get yourself out of it. What are they saying? The risk on that is really, really high. But then they would say, you know, if you have a mortgage, that's not necessarily bad debt because the risk is a little bit lower. But here's what I want you to understand. Debt, period, always brings a level of risk to your financial gain. Like, you have to understand that every time you take on debt, you are taking on a form of risk. Here's the funny thing. I did a little bit of research today, and hopefully this will make you laugh a little bit, but 100% of foreclosures that happen to people with a mortgage. I know you're kind of catching on to that, but the reality is like nobody ever loses their home that doesn't have a mortgage. So the fact that you have a mortgage or any form of debt means that you are operating at a level of risk. Imagine if you didn't have a house payment. Imagine if you didn't have debt. You would be able to live bolder and more confident. Why? Because your level of risk is so much smaller. The wisest man in the world, King Solomon, also was one of the most wealthy men to ever live on planet Earth. He wrote this about debt. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, he says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." Which means when we are in debt, we are actually becoming slaves to somebody else. And I think we can all relate to this on some level. You will drive behind people and you will see, I owe, off to work I go on a bumper sticker on the back of their car. We all have a sense of kind of being slave to this machine. We got a house payment, we got debt, and it's not a great feeling. You know what debt slavery kind of feels like? Kind of feels like this. It's like wearing this big weight. You can still move, you can still go, but man, imagine trying to run towards a vision with this tied around your neck. The more you run, you actually have to walk really, really careful, because if you start to run with this thing, it's gonna hurt you. In fact, what's probably gonna end up happening is it's gonna end up wrapping itself around your neck. It's going to hurt people around you. See, debt feels heavy. It's a weight that we all carry. It's that lingering feeling when am I ever gonna get free of this? We feel like we are chained to something. We feel like we are a slave to our debts. Here's the thing about slaves, and I know it's a harsh term, but I think we can all relate. Here's the reality. Slaves, they don't have options. That when you are a slave to something, you don't have a lot of options because you are forced to carry this thing around. And I believe this, that God doesn't want us to be a slave to anything. That God wants us to live a life of freedom, a life full of options, that we are not stuck because we are in debt. We have to make up our mind. I will work my way out of this slavery. Here's what Jesus said about this, and this is why it impacts our relationship with God so much. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, which basically means you're gonna serve something, but when you have the chains of debt around you, you end up serving your bills more than you do God. Either you will hate the one, come on, how many of you hate your debt? You know what I mean? But somehow you end up serving it still. You will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and you will despise the other. And here's what he says, you cannot serve both God and money. I think Jesus talked about this in such a powerful way because why? That when we begin to look at our debt and our spending and our income, it tells us more about the freedom of our heart than just about anything. And when we look at really the chains of debt in our life, what you will find behind those chains is things like discontentment. You will find things like, I need more. You will find things like greed and envy. Because why? To conquer debt is first a work of your heart. Jesus is saying, listen, if you're bound up in debt, you are constantly going to be divided to what you can use your resources and your finances to do. And Jesus is saying, hey, wherever you find yourself today, it's time to start working towards freedom because God wants you to be liberated so that your whole life, including your financial life, can be devoted to serving God. The problem is that we are in love with getting things now. We overspend in every area. The average American is spending over 117% of what they actually make, which means that people, honestly, what they're doing is they are spending with these guys. They're spending with these guys. They're putting things on credit, and they're wondering why they feel enslaved to bills. I mean, just look at the name of credit cards. This is humorous to me. How about this one? MasterCard. I mean, they didn't even try to hide it there. They just said, hey, you get this card, we're going to become your master. You're going to be a slave to this thing. How about Discover card? Discover some bondage. You know what I mean? How about American? Yeah. American in distress. Like, these things never benefit our lives. Like, we don't need these things in our life. In fact, we have everything that we need to live a free life. We are just addicted to getting things now rather than paying for cash for things. Can I tell you, cash is so much better than debt. I mean, if you don't believe me, I want you to do something. I want you to watch this here for a moment. I got these credit cards here, and I got a $1 bill. Let me ask you today, what would feel better to light on fire? I mean, if this was your money, would you wanna light that on fire? I mean, my goodness gracious, that's almost painful just to watch. Like, the money just kind of went up in smoke, literally. But I want you to see this here for a moment. This is a credit card. Just check this out. Oh, that feels good. Just look at that plastic just bend. Oh, that just feels good. Now I can't even use this thing anymore. It just feels fantastic just to get rid of this thing. What would happen in your world if you just went home and you just got all your credit cards and you finally said, enough is enough. Get yourself a good little bonfire. You walk out there, you take those things and you throw them in the bonfire and you get committed. I will not live like this anymore. I will not have a master. I will not be in bondage. I will not be in distress anymore because I am not going to live my life on debt. Debt, here's what debt is, okay? Debt is this. Debt is financial whining. Come on, I need it now. It's so funny, I go to take my son to the store. Every time we go to the store, he wants a new car or a new toy. If I tell him no, what does he do? Dad, I want a car. I want it right now. See, the problem is that he can't get it without my help. The problem is that for many of us, we just run and grab one of these, and in the midst of our whining, with a little swipe, we just put it on debt. What would happen if you tackled this thing? What happened if you got a vision? I am going to get out of debt. Why? Because there is no freedom when we are a slave to the lender. God wants you to live a life of freedom, and that means today is the day to make a decision. I am going to do whatever it takes to get myself out of debt. Principle number one, get out of debt. Principle number two is this, act your wage. Not your age, act your wage. Like we just spend and spend and spend. Here's what the book of Proverbs says, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, it says this, a foolish man. So this isn't me saying this, this is God saying this. He goes, I love all my children, but some of them, they're kind of foolish. And the foolish ones are ones that devour all that you have. It really comes down to this level of discontentment that we have, that we feel like if we bought something, if we had something, then we would feel more fulfilled, maybe we'd feel more successful. But the reality is that contentment is the key to acting your wage. I want you to see what Timothy wrote about this kind of godliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, which means that we can love God without contentment, and what we will find is we won't be gaining a whole lot in the financial realm. That God wants us to have a level of contentment, like the house that you live in right now is good enough. The problem is that most people, they just try to earn more. So they get a promotion and they're making more. And so what they do is they put themselves right back in the same position because they're making more. Now they sell that house and then they buy a bigger house because why? They're just not content. I think if you are gonna do this, you're gonna have to get rid of the gimmies. You know what I'm talking about. Gimme. My name is Jimmy. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to get rid of a case of the gimmies, and you're going to have to start to learn to just be content with what God has given you. God wants you to have the maturity and the security to act your wage. Number three, principle number three is this. You gotta get on a budget. Budgets are so important because budgets do something powerful. And here's what a budget does. A budget tells your money where to go. Here's what I found about money. If you don't tell it where to go, it will find somewhere to go. And what you'll find is that it usually runs towards things that are just wasteful. It's too much spending here, it's too much takeout food, it's too much of this, too much of that. Because why? You didn't sit down and tell your money where to go. You know, so many times I see people, they're praying for God to bless them. They're praying, God, would you bless me financially? Would you bless me with more? And here's the question that I always have for people is, if you want God to bless you with more, you have to ask yourself this, what am I doing with what I already have? Am I a faithful manager? It reminds me of this story called the parable of the talents Jesus taught. And three different people, they got three different talents. One went out and bought, sold, and traded and doubled it. The other one bought, sold, and traded and doubled it. And then one of them took and buried it in a field because he was fearful. When the master came back, he praised the ones who went out and what were faithful with what he gave them, and they doubled it, they made more of it. And here's what he says when he comes back, and here's the promise. He says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a what? A few things. So if you only make $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month, and that's not where you want to be right now, you want more, here's the question. What God is looking for is, are you faithful with the few things? Do you know where your money is going? Have you sat down and budgeted? Do you know where your dollars are going, or your dollars just flowing towards waste? Because if we're faithful with a few things, here's the promise. I will put you in charge of many things. I just think we gotta learn how to be faithful with budgeting in our lives. It's so funny when I think about my son, Zion. He is 3 right now, but someday he's gonna turn 16. And he's gonna want a car. And here's the thing about a 16-year-old. Even with proper training, a 16-year-old behind the wheel usually has a level of incompetence to their life. They don't fully know because they don't have enough experience. Now, if I'm a good parent, would I go out and buy my son a brand new Dodge Viper? No. Would I go out and buy him a Corvette that goes 0 to 60 in 3 seconds? No, because why? I actually love my son. What I will do is probably buy him a functional Honda Civic that is easy to drive and that cannot go 200 miles an hour. Why? Not because I don't love my son, but because he is ill-equipped to handle a car that drives that fast. He has to learn responsibility. As a father, I'm not gonna buy something for my son that may end up leading to his ruin. See, he has to learn how to manage what he has faithfully. Could it be that God is looking at you the same way? The financial vision God has for your life looks like a Dodge Viper. It looks like a brand new Corvette. But God is looking for some financial management out of your life so that what? When he gives you more, it doesn't destroy your life. It's a blessing to your life. The problem is that most people, if they got more wealth right now, it would get wasted just as much as what they have right now because they don't know how to sit down and put together a plan of how to budget their money. I want you to see Luke chapter 14. Here's what Jesus said. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower, what is he saying? You got a vision to build something with your finances. Does not sit down first. So before you start, that before you spend, you sit down and you make a plan. And what? And you count the cost. What is he saying? I know where my money is going to go, whether he has enough to finish. Here's the question. Do you sit down each month to count the cost? To see, do I have enough to finish what God has given me this month? Here's the thing about a budget. And you have to be purposeful with this, but here's what I want you to do. A budget needs to be on paper, so you need to write it down. It can't be floating around in your head. It needs to be on paper or on a spreadsheet. It needs to be on paper. It needs to be on purpose, which means my finances are being directed towards the vision that I have. If the first part of my vision is to get out of debt, well, then I'm gonna put aside money to pay down that debt that I can start to get out of debt. I'm gonna do it on purpose, and I'm gonna do it before the month begins. So before a dollar comes in next month, I'm gonna sit down on paper, on purpose, I'm gonna put together a plan of counting the cost to know where my money is going. And I'm telling you what, if you can begin to budget and be faithful with what's in your hand, I can almost guarantee it, you are gonna find more flowing your way because God is saying, you have been faithful with a little, now I will put you over much. You got to live on a budget. The fourth principle I want you to grab a hold of, it's this, it's save and invest. The reality is you gotta save before you can invest. You have to save. Saving is the only way to generate real wealth. I remember for a long time, this was a little bit of my mentality is that I would just try to earn more. But here's the problem. You can earn more and you can earn more and you can earn more, but here's the real reality. You cannot out-earn your own stupidity. So the more that you earn, the more that like you'll waste. You actually have to change your mindset and say, I'm gonna be a person that saves. And there's two areas of why it's important that you save money. And the first area that is so important for you to be able to save money and to feel like you're going to win in life is simply this. It's for an emergency fund. That emergency fund is somewhere between 3 and 6 months of income that you have in the bank. Because why? Emergencies are gonna come your way. How many of you remember, I think Grandma used to teach us this, that we need to plan for what? A rainy day. That's a saying that we're going to put away for a rainy day, because here's the reality that I found in my life. It's gonna rain. Rain is going to come to your life. And here's the question is do you have an umbrella of protection around your life that when storms come, you've got an emergency fund in your world that can see you through the storm? As I was researching this, I came across this. This is from Money Magazine, and here's what it says. 78% of people will have a major negative financial event every 10 years. So that means almost all of us, about every 10 years, are gonna have some form of massive negative financial crisis that happens in our lives. Some of them we invite in, some of them are like the one we're walking through right now as a nation with coronavirus, that we are in a negative situation. And when you are in a negative situation, you need an emergency fund, because why? Life is gonna come and poke around to see if you are prepared. There's this law, it's called Murphy's Law. Have you ever heard of this? Here's what Murphy's Law says. If something can go wrong, it will, and usually at the worst time. Like we've all felt that, right? Like you just start to get a little debt paid off and then the washing machine goes out or the car breaks down. It just seems like when is enough enough? But here's the thing about Murphy. I found Murphy doesn't come around very much when I've got big margin in my finances. When I've got 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund set aside, I mean, Murphy's really gotta work really, really hard to get me down. But if I'm floating paycheck to paycheck or I'm in debt, man, when Murphy comes around, he just has a heyday. You know, and listen, when you begin to save, it's like Murphy repellent. Like, he's just gonna stay away. He'll come to your house and look at you and look at your car, and he goes, "Whoop, that person's got an emergency fund. They'll just fix it." He'll leave your car alone and go to your neighbor's. I just found this to be true 100 times. It's usually when I'm least prepared that something bad happens. So the goal is to begin to save. Why? Because in the midst of an emergency, you are secure, you are sound, you are able to overcome. Here's what Proverbs chapter 21 says. It says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil." What is God saying? A wise person stores up some savings. Because why? When life comes, when a famine comes, when nobody else has food, a wise person has stored away and they have enough to see them through the emergency. Here's the reality. Here's the contrast. Are you seeing the contrast the Bible's giving us? Wise people and foolish people. And here's the reality. You are wise if you save, and you are a fool if you devour all you have. I know that's a little heavy and a little straightforward, but let's make a decision that we're not gonna be foolish anymore, but we're gonna turn a corner. We're gonna begin to save. We are gonna save for the rainy day. We are gonna save because emergencies are gonna come, but when they come, we are gonna be ready. And here's the other reason why you save. You save to pay cash. To pay cash. You pay with cash. I like cash. I got a bunch of hundos here. Man, cash just feels good. Just feels good, especially when it's 100. You got several of these in your hand, you start to feel really, really good. Let me tell you, this feels a whole lot better than this. This doesn't feel like it has any power to it. It feels like it has some foolishness to it. But this bad boy right here feels real, real good. I mean, there's just something that you start to get a little emotionally attached. You start paying with cash. Imagine this next car you bought, rather than going in and riding a loan, you walked in with a big fat stack of these. I think you would even think about the kind of car that you would buy, because why? When you look at it, when you see it, here's the reality. When you use cash, you will spend less when you pay with cash. It's just the reality. They've done studies that the average person will spend 20% less if they pay with cash. What would happen if you started to make up your mind that you're just gonna get rid of cards and you're gonna start to make up your mind, I'm going to pay with cash because I'm gonna act my wage, I'm gonna find some contentment. I don't need the brand new car if I can't pay for it with cash. I can take the car that I can pay with cash in. And then I can what? Begin to save money because I wanna be a person who is able to pay with cash. Because when you pay with cash, debt stays at bay. There's a level of confidence to your life that comes. And then once you begin to save, you're able to pay with cash. Here's the great thing. Once you save, then you can begin to invest. Like, you're paying for things with cash. You've got money set aside. Now I can begin to take my money and begin to invest it. Here's the beautiful thing about investment. Here's what happens to your money. Your money has a child called interest. The reality is most of us are used to living with the negative interest. So we're paying interest. But when you save and you begin to make investments, your cash, it starts having kids and it starts getting out there and it just starts making money for you. Rather than you being a slave to the lender, now your money is out there being lended to other people. Now you're gaining interest back on your investment. Now what? You are no longer serving money. Money is serving you. God wants your money to have some kids. He wants it to get out there and make some interest for your life. Because why? When we begin to save and we begin to invest, we enter into this fifth principle where God wants every person to get. And it's just simply this. We get to give. We get to give big. We get to give above and beyond in our lives. And many of us that are watching this would say, hey, you know, I give, and what you're talking about is what's found in Malachi chapter 3. Here's what it says. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that my food may be in my house, that food may be in my house. This is God saying, I want you to bring the whole tithe. The tithe is 10% of our income. But the reality is that tithing is an obedience issue, not a generosity issue. In fact, even if you're in debt or you feel like you're having a hard time grabbing a hold of your finances, the best place that you can begin is to be obedient to what God has already asked you to begin to tithe. It's amazing. You may start to sit every month and actually do a budget because you got to figure out how much 10% is. And then you got to build around that. Like, God has put this principle in here as an obedience issue, not a generosity issue. But God wants us to graduate out of that, where we are out of debt. We have savings, and now our savings has been invested, and our invested is building compounding interest so that we can move into the area of abundant giving. Here's the thing I want you to understand about real giving. Real giving comes from abundance, not just obedience. The reality is I think every believer in Christ has a generous spirit. You cannot have Jesus living inside of you and not want to be a generous person. The reality is that most people want to be generous, but once again, they're caught in slavery. They're chained. So even if they had a desire to be generous, they simply don't have the resources to be generous. God wants you to have a money revolution in your life. He wants you to begin to play by the rules of the game, to get out of debt, to begin to save. Why? So at the end of your life, you can give abundantly because there is no greater joy in this life than to give. I remember when we first planted the church, I was working so much, and me and Angela went all in when we planted the church. I mean, we gave everything that we had. We took our bank accounts to zero. We went all in, and money was really tight for us the first year. And I remember just being exhausted and tired and just really feeling like, man, I just need a break, but I don't know if I can afford like a vacation. And a friend called me and said, Jesse, I was praying for you this morning, and God told me to buy you a vacation. And I just remember tears welling up in my eyes. And I said, man, that is so amazing. I can't believe this. And then this thought popped into my head. Broke people can't do that. People that are slave to the lender can't do that. But a person who's worked God's principles, has begun to win at the money game, now can see somebody in the middle of a situation and they can become the solution. They can literally be a blessing. Why? Because they're giving out of abundance. They're giving out of overflow. And this is where God wants your life to be. This is your destiny as a child of God, that you would be overflowing with blessing. Here's my dream, and I hope this is your dream for your finances. My dream is to overflow in abundant generosity to make a difference. That's where I want my financial game to end. I'll know I'm winning at the financial game when, as Paul wrote, I have what I need for every good work, that I can overflow in abundant generosity to make a difference in somebody's life. But that's a dream. That's the end goal. So what's separating me from where I'm at right now, or where you're at right now, and that great dream of walking in abundance and overflow? It's this thing called a vision. You gotta get a vision for these principles. You gotta get a vision, a system to begin to tackle your debt, to begin to act your wage, to begin to work on a budget, to begin to save and invest. Why? Because God wants you to have that dream become a reality because you have a vision. I want to remind you, to win at the game of money, you have to get a vision. And today that's my hope for you, that I'm helping you get a vision. It's time right now to get out of debt. It's time to begin to act your wage. It's time to begin to live on a budget. God wants you to get a vision. And here's my challenge to you today, to do what Habakkuk 2:2 says, to write that vision down. Write it on paper. Here's what I'm committed to doing this year. Here's what I'm committed to doing each month. And make it plain. Make it simple. I'm gonna tackle my debt. That's number one. I'm gonna get after that. I'm gonna begin to tithe and honor God. I'm gonna begin to tackle my debt. I'm gonna make it plain. Why? So when I read it, I can begin to run with it. God wants you to have a vision, because God wants you to overflow, to be a blessing to the world around you. God doesn't want to make you rich or wealthy or prosperous so that you can have more stuff. God wants to make you rich, wealthy, and prosperous so that you can overflow in abundant generosity to make a difference. And I don't know what your financial situation is like right now, but I want to take a moment and pray for you, that God would give you the courage to get a new vision for your finances, and that you would begin to win at this game called money. Father, I thank you for every person that's watching this. God, you know every person's situation. Some people are so deeply stuck in debt. God, I pray you give them the courage to make a change, that step by step, payment by payment, that they would climb out of debt and find prospering coming over their life. For many other people, God, I pray that they would take it to another level of living on a budget, of getting a plan, of investing their money. God, I pray that you would help your people to be wise people, to know how to handle money, that we can win at the game called money. Lord, I pray you bless them in Jesus' mighty name, amen. I wanna take another moment here to pray for a special group of people. If you're watching this right now, and if I was to ask you, is your life right with God? Which means, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Have you asked Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of your life? Do you have that holy confidence on the inside that my salvation is secure, Jesus is for me, and I will spend eternity with him? If you can't answer that with a confident yes, I wanna lead you in a prayer today. And it's not the words of this prayer that save you. It's the condition of your heart saying, Jesus, I'm committing and surrendering my life to you. So we're gonna pray a prayer out loud, repeating after me. Wherever you are, you can just say these words out loud, repeating after me. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. So right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Hey, wherever you are, if you prayed that prayer, we are celebrating you. And we wanna say a massive welcome home to you. In fact, we would love to give you some more direction at the end of service on how you can continue to take next steps in your faith journey. Well, My City Church, what an incredible kickoff to our Moneyopoly series. I hope you enjoyed it each week. I hope it's gonna get more helpful. But before we get out of here, let's go to God in one more song of worship. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.